Well, welcome to East Lake again. Good to see everyone here, and glad you made it to church today. It seems like at times, if life was not so complex, it would be a lot easier. The problem is, life is complicated. There's a lot going on. One of the reasons we're in this series right now, we're looking at complicated topics. We're sort of trying to unwind some of it a little bit so we can look at it a little bit more clearly and simply. Jesus said that the people that followed him, Christ's followers, that no matter how complicated it gets, overwhelming it gets, chaotic it gets, complicated it gets, you'd always be able to see them. And he phrased it like this, if it's in your note sheet, I'm just going to read it to you. You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let your light shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so they'll praise your Father in heaven, your heavenly Father. So what he's saying is that you'll always be able to see those guys. The way they act is differently, even amongst all the complexion. And today we're talking about politics. So if there ever was a complex issue during this season, taking on some hot topics, today politics, trying to unweave that a little bit. And let me play my cards up front. I know what it is to feel the pressure to not want to talk about my political views. I know what it is to be on the side that even people in church or church leaders, they find out a policy that you have and, you know, they don't like where you stand on a certain thing, or they don't think that it's, you know, religious or Christian enough. And I know what it is to have the people that don't go to church, they don't follow Jesus at all, that's not their thing at all, and they find out where I stand on something and they go, oh man, like, that is so stupid to believe in that, it's so old-fashioned. So, I mean, I know, maybe you know what it's like to hold a policy or think about something political or a political candidate, and you feel the pressure. So you're like, I better not say where I stand on this because, you know, I better be quiet. And it's important that we talk about it, though. And so let me set some ground rules at East Lake Church, okay? So everybody knows in the conversation, we don't endorse any particular political policy ever. Nor do we endorse any political candidates. We're not for any parties at East Lake. Everyone is welcome here. We say this is a church for everyone. That means every political viewpoint, every policy, every ideal, everyone's welcome here. We never pressure anyone to vote a certain direction. That's not it at all. But we do need to talk about politics. And it's the big idea for this weekend. If you have your note sheet, just jot at the very top the big idea. Don't let your politics cause you to miss Jesus. So that's the whole idea of the talk. How do we, you know, engage in politics wherever we stand? How do we have discussions about politics, but don't miss Jesus in the whole thing? Now we're going to look at a story as kind of a backdrop. And in this story, there's two political parties. One's very religious, one's sponsored by the government. And they're trying to pressure Jesus into a political debate. Let me read you the story. Then they sent some Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus in order to trap him into making a statement that they could use against him. They went to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know that you are an honest man and you are not afraid of what others think about you. All people are the same to you." Circle that sentence. All people. Man, and that's good news. All people are the same. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your economic position. Doesn't matter how many times you've been divorced. Doesn't matter the size of your family. It doesn't matter the religious background that you have. All people are the same to God. And so let's keep reading. All people are the same to you. And you teach the truth of God's way. Tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Should we pay them or not? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, "Why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you." When they handed it to him, he asked, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." And they were amazed at him. So here's the thing. You have these two different political parties. And the problem they're having, because they both hold a degree of power in the nation that Jesus lives in, is that because he's becoming more and more popular, is starting to siphon off some of their power, and they're afraid of him. Like, man, as you like get more and more popular with the people are looking to you and less power, and we feel like we have less power over them. And so what they're trying to do is to trap him into something so he'll lose some of the good public opinion that he has. And Jesus sort of breaks it down for them. And so right, number one in your notes, here's, we'll go through some things, pull it from the story. We balance dual citizenship responsibilities. So now we're talking about politics, right? Like how do you engage in politics but not lose sight of Jesus? The first thing is to know we have dual citizen. Let me read you something. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dual citizenship, I mean, we know about that. There's lots of countries that offer that. You can be a citizen of Canada and a citizen of the United States at the same time. You can be a citizen of Australia and a citizen of the United States at the same time. So say that you were. You're going to be interested in what's going on in Australia because you're a citizen there. What's the economy doing? What's the social events? What's happening in Australia? You're keeping an eye over there because I'm a citizen in Australia. But I'm in America now, so I'm a citizen here also. So I'm watching our politics and our government. And what Jesus is saying is there's sort of like a dual citizenship that you have when you're following Christ going on at the same time. That you'll sort of feel this tension. It's not always smooth, by the way. Do you know that Iraq grants dual citizenship? So can you imagine now, over the last few years, if you had your citizenship in Iraq, think of the other countries, if you had citizenship there, there'd be tension. Everything wouldn't go smooth all the time. Because you're looking at different things in both countries, and you feel like you're both places. Here's an example. God's economy in our national economy is way different. So we're part of this nation. We're citizens here. And our economy here is very different. In our economy, the whole idea is to get as much as you can, get it all coming towards you. What comes to me is for me. I have to take care of myself. It's up to me. And so that's the nature of the consumer-driven economy. Like, I got to get as much as I can, and all of it's mine, and I can do whatever I want with it. And that's our national economy. God's economy, way different. God's economy is, I have a provider. Our national economy, my security is in my bank account. I need to see that going up. God's economy, I have a provider that takes care of me. And he gives me more than enough to be generous. Not everything that he gives to me is for me. He actually strategically gives me things so I can give it away. Now, do you see a tension between the two ideas of economics, between the two different citizenships? So number one, you've got to know, Jesus said it, you're citizens of both places. Number two, write in your notes, don't categorize people because of policy. Let me read you something. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life is here. And I want to talk about this just for a second. Because what it's saying is that one of the great things about being a Christ follower, and by the way, like when you become a Christ follower, at some point, listen to this now. At some point, you do step over that line. I mean, you know, you're thinking about it, you're praying about it, you come to church, maybe you're reading, and you're getting closer, and you're thinking, you're sort of going like this with God, you know, and you're just like, and you're like, maybe, maybe not. I always look at it like back in school, where you're trying to jump rope, you're out on the playground, the rope's going, you're trying to get in, you're going like this, you're watching it, but you're not sure, and that's how people are with God. They're just like, maybe, but at some point, you step over that line, and you know, you're my Savior. I'm devoted to you now. And what the Bible says is you're brand new instantly, and you're becoming new at the same time. Right off the bat, it's brand new. And you're also becoming new. So here's what I think it's like. Let's say your entire life, someone told you when you were little that you were left-handed. So like your whole life, you used your left hand. It was awkward, but you got a little bit better at it, but just always seemed a little off to you. It's like, this doesn't quite feel right, but left-handed, left-handed, left-handed. And then at some point in your life, somebody started talking to you about being right-handed, and you decided at some point, I'm going to try that, and you're like, whoa! like, this totally fits. Like, I've always been right-handed. It is so much easier to live right-handed. That's what happens when you step over the line. All of a sudden you're like, oh, this is how we're supposed to live. This is what it means to have a relationship with God. But here's the problem. The left hand has muscle memory. And I've been used to doing things left-handed. So there's a process to switch over. Even though this feels totally natural, I'm right-handed and this is the way to live. I'm used to reaching for things with my left hand. I've relied on my left hand. And that's what this is saying. All of a sudden you're brand new. And one of the great things about it is you don't categorize people. You don't have to. It's certainly important when it comes to political positions. I'm going to show you a video. This is Ellen DeGeneres. And she was invited recently to see the Dallas Cowboys play the Green Bay Packers by the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. She gets invited to be a part of his luxury suite. So her and her legal wife, Portia, they go see the Cowboys play against the Green Bay Packers. And on her show, not Monday but Tuesday, she responds to the criticism that she got because she was hanging out with the wrong people. Now check this out.
So we get to sit in this very fancy suite because, you know, he owns the whole place. So his suite is fancy, and he's got fancy friends. And I don't mean fancy like Real Housewife fancy. I mean, like, fancy. Look, I took a video of who was next to me. Portia, and that was Charlotte Jones Portia was talking to, and George W. Bush, and then in front of us was the tallest man in the world. And so I've got to say, when we were invited, I was aware that I was going to be surrounded with people from very different views and beliefs, and I'm not talking about politics. I was rooting for the Packers, and get this, everybody in the Cowboys suite was rooting for the Cowboys. And so I had to hide my cheese hat in Porsche's purse. And don't get me wrong, I like the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys. I love all the Village people, as a matter of fact. But Aaron Rodgers is a friend of mine. He's the quarterback for the Packers, and so I'm sitting in the Cowboys suite, the owner of the Cowboys, and secretly cheering every time the Packers scored or every time another whistleblower came forward. And the referees, you guys, the referees. But during the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together, and so... People were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And, but a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. And but here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And exactly. Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And I'm friends with people who are furry, as a matter of fact. I have friends who should tweeze more. And I have... But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, here's one of the best, most current definitions of politics. Politics is the activity associated with the governing of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. And here's what's happening. The pressure in our country right now is, as we compartmentalize people around issues, if you get outside of that compartment, I'm not even really sure what politically correct looks like anymore. Because you can almost say anything nowadays. How are we going to talk? I mean, it's not just like this side or that side. It's all sides, like, ready to pounce. To maintain power. Now, I don't care if it's a king, a Communist Party leader, a governor, a president of the United States, a president of a corporation, when the emphasis and priority is to maintain power or to get more power, they lose track of caring about the people. And the policies become a leverage point to guard dog, not an issue to help people. See, and that's what's happening in our country right now. You can't say anything about anything. It's really not because of the policy. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're trying to trap me because you want to maintain your power. You want me to say something to trap me so you can eliminate me or make public opinion go against me. And this happens in every phase of everything now. So I'm just saying, if you want to be Christ followers, new, becoming new, we don't have to categorize anyone. Let me just take a breath, because it's not happening here. I don't care what your political views are, to be honest. You're welcome. You're welcome in the same way we're all welcome. Jesus loves us. So we don't have to categorize anybody. Number three. And jot this in your notes. Stay informed, but manage your intake. Okay, now talking about news and all the information that's coming to us. Stay informed, manage your intake. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. The words of the malicious stir up strife, and they go down to the inner chambers of the heart. Now, I understand we have to stay informed. So we've got to know what's going on locally and in our state and in our nation and everything. But do we really need to know what's going on in some school in Portugal where a poor teacher spilled the pudding on some teacher's lap and now there's a lawsuit going on? Like, do we need to know, like, ask yourself this question, the amount of stuff that we have access to. Here's a great question to vet it. Is that helping my life? Or is it just a dainty morsel? Now understand, news and media and most of the group that's bringing us in the information, I know they stage it like it's just live. I just stumbled into that, but not true. They spend hours combing over those stories and arranging them so they will appear like a dainty morsel. So we'll keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. It's like me when I go to someone's house at a potluck and they have one of those bags of ruffled potato chips that are cheddar and sour cream. It's like I grab that and I pour it onto my plate and I pour it onto my plate, and pretty soon I'm leaving with the plate and the bag. I don't have anything else at all. I just have that, because that is like, you know, a dainty morsel, and it's not very nutritious. News is designed, listen, and we all know this, I'm preaching to the choir. News companies, news outlets, clickers, they need an audience to keep expanding to generate advertising dollars. The more people watching, the more people listening, the more people clicking, the greater amount of advertising dollars they can generate towards themselves. I know they look all, I'm just a journalist trying to help you stay informed. Probably not. They're buying yachts. Some of it you need to know. But it can be malicious, just stirring up trouble. And here's the problem with news. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Like, we all run at a certain level of anger and discontent anyways. I don't know what your number is, but like, I wake up at about a 3 every morning. I don't know why I woke up. Like, I just get up, scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 3. But after about an hour of news, I'm at like an 8 or 9. Like, I watch an hour, like, if you take in an hour of the news that's going on in there, because it's designed to be malicious, because that attracts us. And pretty soon, here's the problem. Whatever's in my soul goes anywhere I go. Garbage in, garbage out. And so if I'm filling my life for hours and hours and hours with problems and stuff that makes me angry because I see the things people say or the kind of ideas that they have, and, oh my gosh, I can't even believe that. Now I'm at an 8 or 9 and I go to work, and guess what? The first thing that happens, the person I'm with, they get an 8. Because that's what's inside me. Now I'm just saying, like, ask yourself the question, do I really need to know that? Yes, stay informed, but manage your intake. If you're a news addict, get some help. Seriously. Like, deal with it, because what you put into your soul goes everywhere you go. Okay, next one. Support policy you believe support God's truth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, my grandson, Lewis, who was born on my birthday, and now that's his birthday. That's the family birthday. It's his birthday now. Is 18 months old, and he learned a new word recently. Mine. And he believes that it is associated with everything in the universe. It's all of his. I mean, he's like 18 months old, and he walks around like a little king. A cute little king. But a little king nonetheless. Everything's mine. And here's the problem. He's not wise enough to be king yet. He's not smart enough to be the king. He needs someone bigger to look out for him. And so do we. Especially with policies, because we all have our pet peeve, man. I didn't really get the whole identity politics thing until I moved to Hawaii. And I love Hawaii, I love my family in Hawaii, I liked being there, but I wasn't prepared for being a minority. I'd never been a minority before. I moved to Hawaii, and in Hawaii is an interesting place to live because there's no racism in Hawaii. I don't know if it's because it's so far away or almost everybody's the same color, I don't know what it is. There's tons of races there, but there's no racism at all in Hawaii except for white people. White people are at the very, very bottom in Hawaii, and there's a history with white people. They call them Haoles there. Look at me, awfully white. My wife's Hawaiian, my kids look Hawaiian, but me, I'm white, and I wasn't ready for it. I'd never been through anything like that where I felt at least mistreated because of the color of my skin. I would go to the store, and this one would be welcomed, like, and this one would be welcomed in line, and this one would be welcomed, they'd talk to me, and I'd come into the line, they'd put their head down, don't say anything to me, don't even want to touch my money. I'm like, what? And that was just 2 years. You can go to the app, East Lake Church Utah, and download the talk we did on racism last week, because it is real. I got a small little touch. But here's how it showed up, identity politics. It's on the rise now, identity politics. Black people vote for black people, white people, Asian people, girls, girls, you know, gender issues, I mean, I vote my person because my person understands me. It's not about policy, on the rise, on the rise. When I was in Hawaii, I didn't know that was inside me. Everybody running for office, they all look the same. They're all brown with black hair and everything, except for one white guy was running for senator. And when I saw that guy running for senator, I was like, I want that guy. I want that guy to win because he understands what I'm going through, what it's like for me to live here. It's like, I want, and I found myself, I didn't even like figure out what he stood for. They said, like, I want the white guy. Vote for the white guy. Now, in our country, gosh, as hard as we've worked, policies are dividing us now into little corrals and categories. We're not allowed to get outside. That would have never happened to Ellen just even a couple of years ago. From within her own group, would have never attacked someone like her. The face of that, they will now. Identity politics. I can't cross over. I can't do anything. So who do you vote for? What do you do? Study the politics. God's truth is his opinion on any matter. So you're trying to figure out where he stands on stuff. I want to read you something out of the Bible because this is pretty good. Way back in the day, there was a general in Israel. He had this huge army. He was going to fight this other army, and he's going to go fight him and figure out. And he's telling God, you know, I'm the good guy. You know, vote for me. You know, like, make me win. I've seen about this last week. I have a lot of friends that work up at the U. I have a buddy that works with the football team. And so they're playing Oregon State. And I'm thinking about them yesterday, and as I do a lot of times, I just said a prayer, oh, you know, God, I want to win. As I was praying for them to win and everything, I thought, I just had this thought, and I said, wait a minute, I bet there's a Christ follower in Oregon praying for Oregon State to win. It was like, how are you going to decide, God? I know you love Utah better, but, like, what's your, like, how are you going to do it? You know, it's like, and I just had this thought in my mind. I was like, well, like, and so this is a great story. Let me read it to you. It'll come up. It's not on your notes. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or for our enemies? This is an angel now. Neither one, he replied. I am the commander of the Lord's army. Guess what? God loves people on both teams. He loves people on both parties, from every point of view. And what he's saying to Joshua is, I know you think I'm on your side, but that's none of your business. God decides. He knows what's true. So when it comes to policies, what you're trying to figure out is like, what lines up with God's truth? Don't be like my little grandson, thinking you're the king, mine. Don't like I was in Hawaii, identity politics. Figure out where you think God might be going. Next one, write in your notes. Discuss politics without going to war. For though we live in a world, we not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. A couple of tips on this, because I know that the old saying is never discuss religion and politics, so we just talk about the weather. But we need to talk about politics, man. It's the way we learn and grow and stretch. We got to be able to have discussions with people about this kind of stuff. And the people that are following Jesus can lead the way. Now, here's one of the ways you can do it. Say in your mind when you're going to talk to somebody that your goal is they'll leave the conversation feeling smarter than when they arrived. Because isn't that what we normally do to people? How could you be such an idiot? You know, I mean, that's where we start. Like, you believe that? You like that guy? You'd vote for her? That is so stupid. What if your goal was, I don't care what happens here, that person's going to leave feeling smarter about who they are, regardless of their policies. And secondly, they probably didn't vote for their candidate for the same reason you didn't. So don't assume the worst in them and the best in you. And you may have to set some ground rules. I do this all the time in marriage and family counseling, and people say, hey, listen, ground rules here. We can call time out. I mean, when you talk to people, no shouting, whatever it's going to be, but set ground rules. Here's the last one. This is so important. Remind each other that it's the personal story behind it that matters the most. Now, when you sit down and you talk to somebody about where they stand politically, if they'll talk to you and you can have a good conversation, you can learn so much about them. Usually it's their personal story that's driving their policy. Politics is a wonderful gateway to knowing someone and what they're all about, which at the end of the day, like, you may not sway them, but if you left feeling closer to them, like they know you love them, they felt smarter about themselves. If you left with a closer friend. And then the last thing, point people towards a more powerful king and kingdom. So on the day that Jesus died, the day of the cross, it was maybe the greatest political confrontation of all time. These two parties had finally become successful, and they're able to get Jesus in front of the most powerful political leader in his nation, Pontius Pilate. And there's this like huge confrontation that happens before Jesus goes to the cross. And I want to read you a little bit of it, and that's how we'll close today. Jesus talking, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." Pilate, the politician, therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For the cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." So here they are, man. And Pontius Pilate, who has all the political power, you know, he's looking at Jesus and he's saying, "You know, you don't look like a king. You don't act like a king. At least not any king I've ever seen. You don't seem like..." But he senses the power. And Jesus is able to say, "I have a different kingdom and a different power. I have the power that can restore families." And almost everybody in the family thought that would never happen. "I have the power that can heal a marriage. I have power that can restore the relationship between a son and a dad or a daughter and a mom. I have the kind of power that could cause someone to feel hopeful They can't remember the last time they felt hopeful. I have the power to make someone feel clean and forgiven of something they never thought they'd feel forgiven for. I have the power to give someone the ability to forgive someone they never thought they could forgive. The tragedy in our nation as we get sidetracked into political power is powerful, but it's nothing like Jesus' power. And the real issues, the stuff we really go through every single day, that's the power we need. And it's the power we're pointing people towards. Politics can be a wonderful stage to do that if we go about it correctly. So how to be political and not lose Jesus.